is one day in your courts. Better is one day in your house. Better is one day in your courts and thousands elsewhere. Better is one day in your courts. Better is one day in your house. Better is one day in your courts and thousands elsewhere. Better is one day in your courts. Better is one day in your house. Better is one day in your courts and thousands elsewhere. Better is one day in your courts. Better is one day in your house. Better is one day in your courts and thousands elsewhere. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence? To my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus? Or in awe of you be still? Will I stand be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. I can only imagine. The enemy has been defeated, and death couldn't hold you down. We're gonna lift our voice in victory. We're gonna make your praises loud. Enemy has been defeated, death couldn't hold you down. We're gonna lift our voice in victory. We're gonna make your praises loud. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Shout unto God with a voice of praise. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. We lift your name up, we lift your name up. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Shout unto God with a voice of praise. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. We lift your name up. We lift your name up. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Shout unto God with a voice of praise. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. We lift your name up. We lift your name up. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Shout unto God with a voice of praise. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. We lift your name up. Better is one day. Better is one day. Better is one day. Thousands of away.
Praise God. Isn't God good? You can have a seat this morning. Just want to get a quick announcement before Brother Stato comes up. For those of you that were at, and we're going to say it again, but for those of you that were at the Back to School Bash yesterday, thank you so much for everything. Let's give them a hand. Especially Brother and Sister Thompson for leading it. It was well organized. We used most everything we could, and there was a lot of cards that came through. We were on the news, I think, Channel 27. Sister Stephanie's going to be a superstar Hollywood actor very soon. But it was a really great event. It was cool to see members of the community come up, all from different schools, different school districts. We had people from Oregon, Fitchburg, Cottage Grove. So it was just cool to see the different school districts. So anyway, thank you all for your help. Brother Seidel.
Good morning. Had to run back and get my mask. Amen. Praise God. Why don't we, you don't have to stand right now. I want to read something to you that may help us get started here this morning. I want to talk about where is your church? Where is your church? Feeling disconnected from your culture? Am I native enough? A variety of factors can cause us to feel disconnected from our native culture. Perhaps you think of your skin as too light, or you haven't spent much time around other indigenous people throughout your life. Maybe you were impacted by bullying or discrimination as you grew up. Maybe you married into a tribe you were unfamiliar with, or you were adopted. Identity is complex. It's easy to fall into the trap of doubting whether you are native enough based on the judgments or doubts of others. Before you know it, you might be inflicting those doubts and judgments on yourself. Identity isn't all about DNA, but it can be helpful to know where you come from. Understanding your indigenous ancestry might help you to feel more at home in your own story and to feel a part of something larger than yourself. But even if you don't feel like enough, retraining your brain to love yourself can change your life. Instead of focusing on how you are less than, focus on all the ways you're truly enough. Many indigenous people feel disconnected from their ancestry. You're not alone in this feeling. It is a repercussion of historical trauma that has plagued Native people for generations. Discrimination, turmoil, and violence has led to a cycle of loss and rediscovery for an entire culture of people. Belonging is about more than your DNA. It's about who you believe in and who believes in you in return. It's about what you value and what community you feel most at home in. Those are excerpts from an article on tribaltrade.com. Now, if you haven't figured that out, that's from a Native American perspective. We all have a desire for connection. Sometimes we don't even recognize it in ourselves, but we're surrounded by so many voices and divided into so many groups, so that even though we may identify with one group or another, we are disconnected from those we need most to communicate with. The world wants to identify us and define us as part of a group so much that the sense of individuality as a unique creation of a living God is thought by some to be a divisive idea. The God of all creation wants every soul to be part of his family. He desires that each of us know him personally so that he can develop us, each of us, into a singular person and personality that he has designed us to be. Amen. The search for a place among our world, the desire for personal worth, the searching for a place in a larger culture, these are innate in our own humanity. They're placed within us by our Creator and designed to draw us closer to him and to his people. What is culture? What does that mean to you and to me? I was raised a Catholic boy in a home that was two blocks from my Catholic church. I spent a lot of my time at the city park, two blocks from my house, playing baseball and football and other things with other mostly Catholic boys. I grew up in a sports home. Two of my older brothers were starting quarterbacks on the football team, and I grew up in that culture, if I can use that term. I was never the outstanding athlete that my older brothers were, but it was part of what we did in our home. And, of course, growing up about 35 miles from Green Bay, there were only two colors that mattered on Sunday afternoon. And that was green and gold. And it was sometimes hard to tell what was more important, the Catholic upbringing or the sports culture. When I got to seventh grade, I went to a public school, and suddenly I was thrown into a whole other world. I went to Catholic grade school, and now I'm dealing with all these different types of people from different backgrounds and different situations, and it was a learning experience for me. When I was in high school, I was an AFS student, exchange student. I went to the country of Colombia. And in preparation for that, the AFS program, always talked about this thing called culture shock. Every time we had a, got together in preparation for this trip that I was going to take, I was told about this thing called culture shock, culture shock, culture shock, culture shock. Well, up until that time, I was 17 years old. I'd never left the state of Wisconsin. I'd never been on an airplane. And suddenly, I'm going to the airport, hopping on an airplane and flying to first to Chicago, then to Atlanta, and then to Miami. And now I'm in a state that I'd never been in before with people that I didn't know. But that was cool. I were mostly young people, and I fit in all right. But then when I got to Colombia, I got off the airplane, and everybody was speaking a different language. And this group of people that I didn't know came up and whisked me away and grabbed me and threw me in a car, and about 10 other people piled in, and we drove to a house that I'd never seen before. Suddenly I understood what culture shock was. Merriam-Webster says, culture, customary beliefs, social forms, and material traits of a racial, religious, or social group. Also, the characteristic features of everyday existence, such as diversions or a way of life shared by a people in a place or time. The set of shared attitudes, values, goals, and practices that characterizes an institution or an organization. That's why we talk about corporate culture these days. We talk about church culture because there are certain things that define culture that we do in common, that we expect of one another. The integrated pattern of human knowledge, belief, and behavior that depends on the capacity for learning and transmitting knowledge to succeeding generations. I included that because that's part of what we're trying to do here, is pass this on to succeeding generations. That needs to be part of our culture. And then this is a separate definition, but I thought it was interesting. How many of you remember biology? How many of you remember what agar is? Not Hagar, agar. It's that goo that was in that little petri dish. Culture, the act or process of cultivating living material, such as bacteria or viruses, in a prepared nutrient media. Amen. There should be some culture growing on here, some living material being cultivated among us. Amen. One last example of culture. In preparing this morning, putting this together, the final touches, I got up early and I ate breakfast, but after a couple of hours, I was hungry again. I had my cup of coffee, but I was a little hungry, and I figured I needed some brain food. So I went to the refrigerator, and I opened up the drawer, and guess what I got out to have with my coffee? Good Wisconsin boy that I am. Jeez. The fact that you knew that answer tells us that we have a culture here in our... Amen. Culture connects us. Things like language and music, reading, and all of our activities. We have all kinds of subcultures. Even in our own church, we have subcultures. Let me give you some words to that you can associate with. How many of you remember grunge? Now that stirs up certain images in some of our minds. That's hip-hop. Of course, everybody recognizes that. Now here's one that goes way back. Zoot suits. Some of you never heard that term before in your life. That's before my time. How about this? Greasers. Stoners. Gearheads. We have a few of those in our church. Amen? All gearheads, clap your hands. Yeah, there you go. Why not? Be proud of it. Sure enough. Amen. So, I want to turn to Hebrews chapter 10, verses 9, 19 through 25. Hebrews 10. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the sanctuary by the blood of Jesus, listen to the things that make us, that connect us. We have confidence to enter the sanctuary by the blood of Jesus, by the fresh and living way that he inaugurated for us through the curtain that is through his flesh. And since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a sincere heart in the assurance that faith brings, because we have had our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed in pure water. How many have been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ? Amen. We have that in common. And let us hold unwaveringly to the hope that we confess, for the one who made the promise is trustworthy. And let us take thought of how to spur one another on to love and to good works. There's the individual relationship, but then this is our accountability to one another, not abandoning our own meetings, not forsaking the gathering of ourselves together, the King James Version says, as some are in the habit of doing. But encouraging one another even more so because you see the day drawing near. Praise God. Where's your church? Where is your church? The church is a place for connection, according to this. Look at Acts 2:42. We need to have an apostolic Christian culture. The word Christian is much used in our world today, but that's why I try to qualify myself as an apostolic. Not out of pride or self-righteousness, but because I want people to understand that my culture is a little different from the world's idea of the Christian culture. We need to have an apostolic culture. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles, and all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men, as every man had need. Now we know at that time there was a great deal of stress on the church, and this was a necessary step, but nonetheless the attitude that's portrayed by the willingness to sell their goods and share them with one another, that same attitude was manifest yesterday in the back to school bash. The church is here to help one another. They continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house. Here's the gathering together. Here's the connection. Did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. A lot of us are real good at that last part. Praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. An apostolic culture. A connected culture. That's why we have church services. That's why we have connection groups. That's why we have home fellowships and home Bible studies. So that the culture of Jesus Christ, so that the word of God can be shared, so that we can speak the same language, so we can have common interests and common desires in the kingdom of God, small groups. That's why we have district meetings. That's why we have church camp. That's why we have a midwinter camp meeting. That's why we gather together, because we have a culture that is separate and apart from the world around us. That's why we have a general conference and national events, because we are a people called out of this world. Forsake not the gathering of yourselves together. The word church means assemblage, or those that are called out, a gathering together. That's the very basic definition. In the original language of church, it's not a building, it's the coming together, it's the, we're the called out ones, we're called to assemble together. When the rapture takes place, when Jesus Christ comes back to take his church, the dead in Christ shall rise first, the Bible says, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them to be with the Lord. It's all going to happen in a moment. The body of Christ is going to rise up together in the presence of God. Our culture, our world is becoming disconnected. I want to read something else that I found having to do with this concept of being disconnected. 17-year-old high school student was asked what differentiated his generation from others. The student gave this response without hesitation. People stay in more often. My generation has lost interest in socializing in person. They don't have physical get-togethers. They just text together. And they just stay at home. Monitoring the Future has conducted an ongoing study since 1976, which was the year I graduated from high school, by the way, since 1976, of 8th, 10th, and 12th graders, examining whether they met with friends every day or nearly every day. From 1976 to 2000, around 50% of the students reported they connected with their friends this frequently, 50% every day or nearly every day. And by 2000, however, a significant downward trend started in 2010, and by 2014, only 25% of students reported getting together with friends daily or nearly every day. The number has continued to decrease each year, and studies like these give us a glimpse into a rapidly growing, disconnected culture that's moving people towards isolation. This is a normal conversation for me when I was a boy. Call up my friend on the telephone. Had like 10 phone numbers memorized, so I didn't. What are you doing? Nothing. What are you doing? Nothing. What do you want to do? I don't know. What do you want to do? I don't know. You want to do something? Like what? I don't know. You want to play football? I guess. With who? I don't know. You want to call some guys? I suppose. Who? Well, you call Jake and Deal and Kiso. I'll call Peterson, Beef, and Ray. I'll see if one of them will call Tommy Z. Maybe Shomer and Pazzi will come. Call me back. Click. That was it. That was up. We had to get the thing rolling. And then we got together at the park and played baseball, played football. We did a lot of things we weren't supposed to do while we were there. I have to admit that. But that's what we very rarely did I spend a whole day inside the house. If I spent more than a couple of hours inside the house, I usually was corrected by my parents for getting the word was too antsy. We're becoming increasingly disconnected. The Washington Examiner says this: misunderstanding is afoot in America. People are talking, which is good, but they're not understanding each other, which is bad. There's a significant divide in American culture, a divide between a certain variety of intellectual, and not to put too fine a point on it, the rest of the country. The split is not between intellectuals and non-intellectuals. It's not between bookish scholars and factory workers. The divide is between people who have been socialized and educated in a secular culture in a way that has sealed them off from religion, and people who are either religious or at least familiar with the language, there's that element of culture, with the language and motivations of religious people. A person of the latter persuasion may be decidedly secular in his own take on life, but he will know what it means to believe things are otherwise. The person who is to some extent lost in a secular culture, on the other hand, is not really sure what religious people are up to. They wonder what's going on in here on Sunday morning. Because his life has been conditioned, enculturated, I can say, has been conditioned by a secular worldview. All convincing explanations of the mysteries of existence are necessarily secular ones. Purposely included the rapture, because that's one of the, as far as I'm concerned, one of the most illogical things that we can believe and teach. But it's in the Bible. Repeatedly it's in the Bible. If he has been exposed to religious thinking at all, it was in a college course, which he read a few pages of Aquinas or some stanzas of Dante. Cultural disconnect may be defined as a phenomenon that occurs when people begin to talk past each other. Have you ever had that experience? When people begin to talk past each other because they have been formed or informed by different cultures and are not fully aware of the fact. In recent years, cultural disconnect has been occurring more and more frequently between those who suffer from secular insularity and those who do not. It occurs on talk shows, news shows, during the course of debates, in polemics waged by usually crafty and sensible cultural observers, at swank cocktail parties, and even in the academy, a place where, as everyone knows, people take it as imperative to understand one another. Now, here's the interesting thing. Scott Morris wrote this in the Washington Examiner, talking about this increasing process, but he wrote it in 1995. Just how much have we come, how far have we come since then? Some people turn to the bars. That's where they gather together. That's where they assemble. They have their favorite place on a stool and a favorite place where they have a hamburger and a beer. Some people, they're called to Lambeau Field. That's where they assemble and practice their worship. Others go to internet chat. Some go to streaming. And some to streaming of the worst kind. Some to sports in general and some to video games. But everybody's seeking a place to gather. Unfortunately, some people turn inward and fall through the cracks. Evidence of this is the tremendous rise in suicides during this pandemic. But we have something that the world is looking for. We have something that the world needs. Turn to Colossians 3. Do not lie to one another. I'm going to read from the NET version. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with its practices. I want to stop there. It says, don't lie to one another. And I think that's more than just, you know, I'm going to tell you something that's not true. I think that goes even further. That's talking about be real with one another. Be open with one another. Don't try and fool one another that you're someone you're not. You've been clothed with the new man that is being renewed in knowledge according to the image of the one who created it. Here there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all in all. Here there is neither American or Mexican or Muslim or Hindu or whatever it is you want, or transgender, any kind of person that you want to define with any group or structure you want to place upon them, this is a place for them to come and find a home. Neither Greek nor Jew nor circumcised, uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness. These are elements of our culture. Long-suffering. This is what God has called us to. Bearing with one another and forgiving one another if someone happens to have a complaint against anyone else. Now, I know that never happens at Calvary Gospel Church. Just as the Lord has forgiven you, so also forgive others. And to all these virtues add love, which is the perfect bond. Let the peace of Christ be in control of your heart, for you were in fact called as one body to this peace. And be thankful. Isn't that interesting? All of these individual character traits listed of how we ought to express the presence and the person of Jesus Christ. And then he says, but you were all called as one body. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and exhorting one another with all wisdom, singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, all with grace in your hearts to God. Remember when we were meeting online, and there was only four or five people here? I remember Sister Fiona tried to do a choir thing on Zoom. And many people experience how difficult it is for people to be in unison on Zoom, because it's hard to get everything on the same note at the same tempo and the same time because of the electronic delays and confusion that takes place. But if we have a group of people here in the auditorium and they're all together, and you have 15 or 20 people standing on the platform, and the choir director practices with them for a half an hour or an hour or however long it takes, when they stand before the congregation, they can all sing in unison. They can all hit the note at the same time. They can harmonize. They can be in unison when it's necessary, all by the direction of the choir director and through practice, and because they are together in one place, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. How much different was it when we came back together in the house of God and we were able to worship together and lift our hands and sing the praises of our Almighty God? This is our culture. This is who we are. This is what we must identify with. Whatever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God our Father through him. Praise God. Neither Greek nor Jew. The world wants to cut us up into little groups and set us at odds with one another. But we're one body. We're the people of the name. We're children of a living God. He's in us. He's with us. He never leaves us. He's never forsaken us. Ephesians 5, 17 through 21 says, wherefore, be not unwise. Be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. It's the will of God. And be not drunk with wine. Don't go to the bar for your fellowship, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking, here it is again, speaking to yourselves. That means to one another, not to yourself in your bedroom on Zoom. It means to each other in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Here's the hard part. Submitting yourselves to one another in the fear of God. Amen. One last verse. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 14 and 26. See, here's the interesting thing. The world wants to somehow paint a picture of the church as this confining, oppressive monolith that takes away your personality and tries to fit you into some ungodly tight clothing that looks terrible, or something so loose that there's no definition whatsoever. But somehow the church is going to take away who you are. That's not it at all. That's not what the Bible teaches. That's not what the Word of God says. How is it then, brethren, when you come together? Every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation. Let all things be done unto edifying. Every one of us has gifts and callings and anointings that are individual and unique to our own lives and our own spirits. But the Bible says, take those things and bring them together. when you join together, whether it's a small group, a Bible study, or a connection group, or a Sunday morning church service, or a general conference, let everything be done to edifying. Take your gifts and build up the body. Establish the culture. Pass it on to the next generation. Praise God. Where's your church? Where's my church? Yeah, I'm still somewhat connected to the sport culture. I still follow certain teams and wear certain colors. But that's not where my church is. My church is wherever God's people gather together. That's my church. Praise God. Let's stand. We're going to give you a few minutes. We're ahead of schedule. Everyone said yay. So give yourself about 5 minutes before you go to pick up your kids, children, from the children's ministry. Take a breather, get a glass of water, whatever you need. But if you can, if you will, take a moment, find a place to pray. You can come down to the front. You can pray where you are. But let God search your heart. Help us, God. Help us, God, to recognize what our true priorities are, what we really are, what really is our church. Where are our values coming from? What are we focused on in life? Who do we associate with? Who do we identify with? Help us, God, to search our own hearts and to identify your purpose and your will in our lives. Let's all pray together right now in Jesus' name. Lord, we ask, O God, for your word to take root in us, Lord. Give us eyes to see. Give us ears to hear. Give us an open heart and an understanding of your will. For each of us as individuals, as you shape and mold and grow us into your perfect image. But also, Lord God, help us to grow as a body, as a people, as a church, O Lord, that we may be of one mind and one accord, that you can pour out your Spirit upon us and do a great work in us as a church and as individuals. We give you the glory. We give you the praise in all of this. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Thank you for being here this morning. Take a few minutes. Gather your brood together and come on back. We'll start up again at 11 o'clock.